Why going after bank deposits is risky business.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money Podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, hello, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update for Tuesday, the 19th of March, the day that the tiny island nation of Cyprus could have an economic impact all around the world. The parliament is voting today on a plan to tax bank deposits as much as 10% before customers have a chance to withdraw their money. It was agreed to in order for Cyprus to get a bailout from the European Union. Sheila Bair is the former chairwoman of the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, or FDIC, and she is with us from Washington. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, so how does this plan look to you as the former chairwoman of the FDIC, what they're planning to do here in Cyprus?
Well, it looks pretty bad from the published reports. I mean, my gosh, where is the rule of law here? It's a classic case of hurting the little guy to bail out the big guy. This would never happen in the U.S. Because we do respect the rule of law, but you also have a very strong agency called the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation that stands up for insured depositors and protects them. And so having not just a single deposit insurance system in place, but a strong agency handling that program and standing up for insured depositors, I think is really crucial. And this really underscores why they need it in the Eurozone.
Well, are you more worried about it then because you think it's unfair to the little guy, as you say, or because it might create a confidence issue if people don't think
that
their money's safe?
Well, it's absolutely destabilizing. I am first and foremost worried about those little guys and taking unfair haircuts on their insured deposits. But absolutely, it's destabilizing. I mean, if you're in Southern Europe and you think you've got insured deposits and now one country says, nope, sorry, we're going to take a good percentage of your insured deposit anyway, it absolutely is going to hurt the confidence of the banks, especially in that region. It is just, I cannot say enough bad things about it.
With all of the extraordinary measures that the U.S. government took in the financial crisis, how important was that very simple FDIC insurance for deposits in keeping the system from getting worse than it did?
It was absolutely essential. The banks that were relying on wholesale funding, the banks who were borrowing from other financial institutions, their funding dried up. The big institutions didn't have any confidence in each other. They wouldn't lend to each other. But, Main Street Americans left their deposits in the banks, and they left their deposits in the banks because they knew the FDIC was going to take care of them if that bank failed. And that was what kept our system going, I strongly believe.
Do you feel like we're coming to the end of the euro crisis?
Oh, golly, I hope we weren't until this nonsense. I mean, I really think this is just a very, very bad decision, which I hope is undone. And I would like to think that the Europeans are finally working their way out of their problems. I mean, on the larger issue of whether, private stakeholders in these banks should take losses, they absolutely should. But that should not extend down to insured depositors.
Sheila Bair, former chairwoman of the FDIC, author of the book Bull by the Horns. Thank you so much for your time.
You bet. Thank you.
Well, today the Supreme Court will hear arguments in the case of Mutual Pharmaceutical versus Bartlett, a case that could have big implications on the availability of generic drugs in the U.S. Marketplace's David Gura reports.
John Hertig is a pharmacy professor at Purdue University. He says that chemically, a generic drug and a brand name drug are identical.
We're talking about medications that are intended to do the same thing
and have the same adverse reactions. In 2004, New Hampshire resident Karen Bartlett took a generic drug that had some really horrible side effects. So she sued the company that made it, arguing the drug was defective. A jury awarded her $21 million. John Hertig says there are risks to every medication, and those side effects were part of the drug's profile.
So this isn't necessarily a defect of the drug. It's something that was known from the generic drug and the brand drug.
Allison Hoffman teaches law at UCLA. She says that if the FDA tells a company it can make a generic drug, and that company makes the drug,
and it harms somebody, the question is who should pay for that harm.
If it's the drug maker, the company may decide it's too risky and perhaps too costly to make it at all. If the drug maker is not liable, the company may have no incentive to pull a potentially dangerous drug off the market. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
Well, just a week after a judge struck down his proposed ban on the sale of some large sugary drinks, New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg has another idea aimed at making the Big Apple a little healthier. He wants stores in New York to conceal their cigarettes. Marketplace's Sabri Benishore reports.
The idea is pretty simple. Hide the cigarettes.
That's not going to avoid nothing.
Nathaniel Soto is a smoker walking down Lexington Avenue.
People are going to smoke no matter what.
But a few blocks down the way, at the 646 Deli, manager PM says he'd lose business because hiding the smokes makes the buying process more cumbersome.
There are lots of varieties, and people don't know the names, just like Marlboro. They have 20, 30 types of varieties.
Retail analyst Howard Davidovitz says even with something as addictive as cigarettes, product displays are crucial.
I think if you can't see something, there's going to be less buying of it.
Bloomberg's plan is getting reviewed by the New York City Council. There are similar laws in Iceland, Canada, England, and Ireland, but it would be a first in the U.S. One potential loophole, sellers would still be able to advertise cigarettes. So theoretically, they could hide their cigarettes behind an ad for cigarettes. I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
And finally, to some new research on how to improve employee performance. It says the ideal praise-to-criticism ratio is 5.6, meaning there should be almost six times as much positive feedback as negative. According to Bloomberg News, the same is true for marriages. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.